Federal agencies are preparing plans now for a possible shutdown next week. One of the elements of those plans is determining who comes in and who doesn't. But employees are not the only people who should be worrying about who reports to work if there's a shutdown and who doesn't. Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners and writing about that in the Week Ahead newsletter. And Larry, it's great to have you on the program as always. How do you go about finding out when maybe the agencies don't even know yet whether you should bother showing up if there's a shutdown next week?
Well, Francis, I think fortunately this is one area where there's a very easy answer. There's one place and only one place to go, and that's to the contracting officer. If you're a contractor and you're performing work on a federal agency site, or even if you're a contractor who has been shipping product to fulfill a federal order and that product might come in, say, next Thursday or Friday, talk to the contracting officer about what the plan is on whether or not you should hold that product at a loading dock, whether or not the personnel working on that agency site are deemed essential, and that answer will tell you whether or not those people get to show up for work or work out of their house, but not on that contract, because if they're not essential, then you can't allow your employees to continue working, even if you want them to.
You write, with the possibility of a shutdown, it's important not to become bewitched by customer promises. What have we seen maybe from the shutdown in 2013 that informs us as to what agencies might ask, at least, to have happen next week?
Well, despite the amount of information and exhortations from people like myself, Francis, you see even very experienced contractors saying, oh, well, you know, this is our customer. They're a good colleague of ours. We want to show good support. We're going to continue working on this contract. And they find out that they don't get paid. Or they attempt to send their contractor personnel to an agency site, and while the agency itself may not be 100% shut down, it's shut down for people with certain types of badges, and it includes people who are badged for contract work. So you see even experienced companies falling into the, you know, that certainly doesn't affect us line of thinking when it does. Or they'll be talking to somebody else in an agency besides the contracting officer. Sure, why don't you all come in on Thursday? You know, we'll have pizza and a couple of Diet Cokes and, you know, have a good time. Well, you know, that's not the answer.
Is it too early to know that? I mean, we're just learning about how agencies are preparing for the shutdown, let alone whether final decisions have been made. And so I wonder if it's even possible to know that. I wonder if it's possible for the COs to know that at this point, or if it's possible they might say one thing today based on what they think and that plans might change between now and next week.
Well, those are all excellent points, and that certainly is probably the case. There is less than 100% certainty today for a number of reasons, one of which being the Office of Management and Budget just in the last 48 hours instructed agencies to begin implementing their shutdown plans. So we probably don't have all of the answers, Francis, but we do have more answers now than we did 2 years ago when we went through this drill before. Some of the answers, in fact, were provided by what happened 2 years ago. So while we may not have specific answers, if you went through this exercise in 2013, you have some idea of where you're probably going to end up and what that means for your company, enough so that you can begin your own contingency planning to tell your people, look, we don't have all the answers, but you should be prepared to do a couple of things depending on what final answer we get from the contracting officer. I suspect that final answer would probably come next week. Because over the weekend, Francis, I think, is going to be the flashpoint that determines whether or not we have a shutdown.
Were there horror stories that you heard from clients or associates in this space from the 2013 shutdown that people should take as lessons to be wary of this time around, Larry?
There were there are two that come immediately to mind, and I've kind of referenced each of them. But the one is that people kept right on working, being funded by a government contract. Of course, they weren't being funded by it because there was no money during the shutdown. And those people never got paid for that. The company they worked for said, sorry, you know, you worked those 3, 4, 5 days, and you're not, you know, there are no pay and benefits tied to that. So that was a problem. People who literally did try to show up at agencies only to be turned away, which, you know, if you live anywhere outside of Washington, that's a long drive both ways for nothing. And the other thing that happened is companies ended up having to hold product at interim shipping points because government loading docks weren't open to receive shipments, and it took months to get those backlogs figured out. And, of course, who paid for the interim storage? Well, it wasn't the government. They were shut down, so the contractors sometimes ended up losing money on a deal they otherwise would have made money on because they had to pay for storage.
Larry Allen's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners and writes the Week Ahead newsletter. And you have another piece in the newsletter this week about a proposed rule on counterfeit IT and commercial IT providers in the Defense Department. This could get really complicated, couldn't it, Larry?
Well, I think it has the potential to be very complicated, Francis, on a number of levels. First of all, this proposed rule would cover only the Department of Defense. Sometimes Department of Defense rules have a way of making themselves outside of DOD, but that's uneven in its application and it causes confusion. But even inside DOD, while I think the proposed rule tries to do a good job of preparing DOD buyers to expect properly sourced, accurate equipment so that they get what they think they're getting, it also provides some alternative certification routes for contractors in an attempt to be flexible. Like any attempt to be flexible, there are definitions in the proposed rule that are less than precisely defined, and that leads to some gray areas in an area where we're trying to get rid of gray areas. So while I generally think the proposed rule is moving in the right direction, and in fact it has to because it follows on a law that Congress passed a couple of years ago, so you have to have a rule, I think that there's a lot of clarity that needs to be worked out during the rulemaking process.
What clarity do you hope for the most, I guess? It's not all going to become clear because it never does, but what is the most important element, do you think, of clarity that's needed here?
Well, if I may take the Hillary Clinton way and respond with two answers instead of one, Francis.
I'm not touching that one.
But the first one is for contractors. Look, this proposed rule would affect commercial item contractors along with other companies. So I think the biggest thing here is education, educating commercial IT firms. Look, DOD is serious. You have to have these programs in place to ensure that you're not providing counterfeit IT. And there are a couple of routes that the proposed rule allows for you to do that. But the big news is making sure that the commercial providers of IT understand that they're going to have to do this. The second lesson is for government, and this is my admonition to DOD buyers. Look, once this rule goes into a place, you're not going to be able to get 50, 60, 70% off contract price for IT products. And if you do, that should be an immediate flag that says, wait a minute, maybe I'm getting that equipment from somebody who isn't a certified IT provider. Maybe I'm getting counterfeit or gray market product. I hate to tell people in DOD, your negotiating prowess is not such that you can get 60% off of a price that nobody else can possibly get. If you're getting that deep discount, it's probably because you're getting something that you shouldn't be getting, And the floor, I think, now for LPTA and other acquisitions needs to be raised, because if the government's going to be getting real stuff, it's going to be paying more for it in acquisition, but less overall, because we're going to have a more secure system of IT network.
But Larry, it says Cisco right on it, so it's got to be real. It wouldn't be fake if it, right? It says right on there what brand it is.
Yeah, well, that's not always the case.
Thank you as always, my friends. Good to talk to you.
Francis, enjoy being on.